Well, welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 14. So, as a review, let's go back and just read verses 31 through 33 together. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness.
You know, what you do or what we do as individuals may also affect our descendants. You can see that from the decline of this nation, what we've done, what we haven't done. And although children are born in a state of innocence, they're subjected to the environment that the parents are setting. And in this situation where the older generation decides we're not going into the promised land, you understand, I keep emphasizing this, but I don't think I can reiterate it too often, that it's the military that's refusing to go against the enemy. In other words, the people who are trained to go to war don't want to go to war. Well, that's going to affect the whole nation. If you don't have an army that's not going to go to war for you, then the nation becomes vulnerable to the enemy, you understand? And so because they've refused to go in to the land, the judgment of this is that they're not only are they going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, but also their children, their families, are subjected to the same thing. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that nobody goes into the promised land. It means that none of these soldiers who refuse to go in will go in. And you've got to get that in your mind. And if you listen to the instruction of Moses, especially when we get into Deuteronomy, he will remind them they had seen this, they had seen that. He's talking to probably some of the older women, if you will, of the former generation. And so don't think that everybody was wiped out. It was the military that was wiped out. We get into Deuteronomy, we can find that the military was actually all died off in 38 years. And then there was still that additional 2 years before they went into the promised land. Their descendants are incurring that judgment, you understand? So that's what it's referring to here, you and your descendants. What you do affects other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important that we do the right thing, do right by God. Now, I cannot overemphasize this. If you do right by God, you will do right by the people, whether the people think you're doing right or not. That's not the issue. People are not your judge. They will try to judge you. But I can promise you that when it's all said and done, you're going to stand before the judge of all the earth. That's who gives the judgment. And it's not going to be, did you do what the people said? Did you do what God said? Okay? They didn't obey God. They rebelled. This is willful rebellion against God. Knowing God's told you to go in, and you're not doing what God told you to do. That's rebellion. That's not ignorance, okay?
After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise.
So God punished the Israelite, and here again I'm referring to the army, but other people are caught up in this, okay? So God's punishing the Israelites according to the number of days that the spies spied the land, which was 40 days. And their punishment was going to be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, waiting for this army to die off. Every day that the spies had surveyed the land, the Israelites was going to have to spend a year for a day in the wilderness. Consequently, they were there 40 years because they rejected the land that the Lord had promised to give to them. I gave it to you, you didn't want it. And because of that, you're going to wander around in the wilderness 40 years.
Verse 35, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die.
So the Lord declared that he would do exactly what he had spoken to the evil congregation who rebelled against him. Now note this, the lives of those who rebelled against him. It was not only the army, there were people, other people as well. Those who rebelled against the Lord died in the wilderness. They're not going in to this land. And it says the lives of those who were numbered. Who was numbered?
Military.
The military. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so as they requested, God's going to honor their request. Would to God we'd died in the wilderness. God said, all right, that's what you want, that's what you get. I tried to give you a land, I tried to take you in, you didn't want to go. And I see that with people today. God, and I'm talking about believers, supposedly believers anyway, Christians, how's that? God wants to take us to a place, but we only want to go so far.
Mm-hmm.
And when the going gets a little bit tough, we don't want to press through. We don't want to go all the way in. We get caught up with the circumstances, the obstacles that are in a way, and we forget the Word of God. We just turn it loose, and the result is that we're going to suffer the consequence of disobedience, just like these people did. And so you better be cautious of what you say, especially what you say to God.
Mm.
I'd rather die than to go into the land. Well, guess what? You might as well prepare for your funeral, okay?
Mm.
Because that's rebellion.
And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord.
Now, it appears, if I understand this correctly, that the 10 spies who brought back the bad report, that caused the Israelite army not to go in, that they didn't live the 40 years. You know, that they, it appears that they died quickly of a disease, and note that it said sent by the Lord. Now, I had someone just here the last few days come and talk to me about something, but anyway, related to this, like the Lord sent this disease, or the Lord sent an evil spirit to Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And, people don't understand that. Well, it's real simple. God is in control of everything. God has dominion over everything. So God can allow or disallow. You understand the devil can't go beyond what God allows. You see this in the book of Job. When Satan accuses Job before God, then God, he's accusing Job for serving God for what he gets. He just take his stuff away from him and he'll curse you to your face. My paraphrase, okay? God says, all right. He's in your hand. You can take his stuff, but you can't touch him. Now, you know what that did? That set the boundaries on the devil. You can't go so far, but God had to give him permission. You understand? And so you know the story, how he attacks. In the same way with, well, that didn't work. So God says, you know, how about you? Man, nobody like him. Well, you know, skin for skin. Man will do anything for his own personal life. All right? You can afflict him, but you can't kill him. So he sets the boundaries. God has dominion over that. You follow me? It's not that the devil just do what he wants to do. God has dominion over the limits, and then you and I have dominion over things of the devil as well that we have to take responsibility for. The lying spirit there that was sent to Ahab. All this host of heaven is gathered, and God says, who can I send up to Ramoth Gilead to Ahab will be killed? My paraphrase. In other words, it's time for the judgment of God to fall on Ahab for being so wicked and leading the nation of Israel in wickedness, okay? And one says this, another says that, and then one came forth. He said, I'll go. And the Lord says, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of this prophet. God said, you'll succeed, go ahead. That's what you get with the news. You get lying spirits that deceive people. You understand? Mm-hmm. People fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. God has dominion, but God will do things to bring judgment and condemnation on the wicked. You follow me? And we have to grasp that it's not God doing it, but God's allowing it because you set yourself up for it. And that's why we're to follow God with our whole heart. You follow me? And so these men who discouraged an entire nation, there was a severe consequence. All right, you guys know you'll live long. Get you guys out of the way now. You with me? Okay.
But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still.
Those were the only two survivors. The plague didn't bother them. You understand? They didn't die by the plague. They didn't die in the wilderness. Why? Because they were obedient to God. And I'm going to tell you, God honors obedience. Things may not happen in the time you want them to happen, but you just stay with God, and you watch it unfold. I know many things that have happened in my life, especially in ministry. It didn't look real good sometimes. Mm-hmm. But just staying with God, it over a period of years, it had a positive outcome. You can't get impatient with God. You can't feel sorry for yourself. You have to keep your attention focused on the Lord. And if you keep your attention focused on the Lord, you're going to eat of the good of the land. You'll go into that promised land.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, bad leadership influences people to make bad decisions.
Right.
Conversely, good leadership will influence people to make good decisions. And then another principle that you can see in this 14th chapter is our confession can work for us or our confession can work against us. Israel confessed failure. We can't do it. And they didn't. That's self-prophecy. You understand? Prophesying your own demise. And God gave Israel its request by allowing the men of war, except Joshua and Caleb, to die in the wilderness. I'm telling you, we need to get that spirit of Caleb. We are well able. And stop looking at obstacles. Keep your mind on the Word of God. from the Spirit of God, okay?
That's good. We need to be mindful of what we're allowing or who we're allowing to influence us.
Oh, my. We were just talking about that today. You know, I was telling Heather, I was in a situation where I was in a confined situation where you can't leave, okay? And tremendous criticism and negative thinking and all this is going on and about something. And I mean, I was fine as rain, and all of a sudden, I get mad. I mean, that spirit was trying to get on me, and I realized immediately what was happening, and so I started praying in the Spirit. And then just things like that, I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll just sing on the inside of me to block out to where I don't hear what's going on outside. And, you know, I can be accused of a lot of things, but, you know, you can call it ignoring. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm ignoring that demonic stuff. I don't want that to get in me. And so I realized from that incident that if you subject yourself to a negative environment, that negativity gets on you. But conversely, if you subject yourself to a positive environment, then those positive things would get on you. So who you hang out with is critical. You understand? You know, but Mom and Daddy used to tell me that when I was a kid, and I didn't appreciate it. And, you know, fine. One teacher, I was hanging out with a wrong guy. I was hanging out with a bad dude. It was in seventh grade. I remember that. And I had a teacher. I'll never forget that man. I couldn't appreciate it then, but I believe he's the only teacher that ever really cared about me. But he went to our house and he talked to my mama about who I was hanging out with, that it was having a negative effect on me. And it was. You understand? I mean, but you know, that talk got me in trouble. My mom and daddy believed in corporal punishment, you understand. The corporal would beat the daylights out of you. You know, you can do this. But I'm going to tell you what. I appreciate to this day that man doing that. Because, boy, the law was laid down to me. You don't hang out with that person anymore. And the amazing thing about it is it changed my grades. You understand? It changes your attitude. You hang around a person with a bad attitude and they'll get on you. You see that bad attitude, stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't subject yourself to it.
Okay.
People talking against the things of God, don't hang out with them. That's not my associates. I want to talk to people and hang out with people who are going into the promised land. And if you're not going into the promised land, we don't have any conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We have nothing in common.
Mm-hmm. So we have to keep ourselves subjected to the Word of God so we can recognize which influences are anti-God, which ones are speaking against the Word of God. Because the world today, society, culture today, what is acceptable in our society today in so many realms is anti-Christ. There's no other way to put it.
There's no gray area.
There is no gray area.
You're for or against.
You think about the movement, and I'll just be bold and say it, for homosexuality. God is against that. It's plain and simple. If you embrace that, and you accept that as that's good, and it's bad to talk against that, then you're talking against God. You're talking against Jesus, the Word, who became flesh. And so it's our job to keep ourselves subjected to the Word of God. So we recognize Caleb and Joshua kept before them the Word of God. So it's easy to distinguish. And I thank God that I have been born in the United States of America. And so that I have a voice when bad leadership is vying for a position of authority. I thank God that I can cast a vote and say, no, that's Antichrist. I'm voting against that. I'm not supporting that. I'm standing up for my God. And I'm beginning, the more I stay in the Word, the more I realize how much responsibility I have for this. I can't put this off on my pastor to teach me all of this Word. It's my job to read this Bible. I can go for instruction. But at the end of the day, Pete Bumgarner is not my judge. I will be standing before the Lord. And so I'm accountable for this, and you are too. And so the influences that we subject ourselves to are so important. You know, my mama used to say, you lie with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. Well, we can laugh at that, but there is a profound truth in that.
Yeah, you're seeing things going on right now, just like with the cabinet, trying to get this solidified. And what you're seeing is a demonic force at work overtime, day and night, to try to slander people because of their past. Or fabricating lies on people that don't have that bad a past. You understand? There's not a person in this room, if you were going for that position, that they couldn't find something bad to say about you.
That's right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pay attention to the smut, or you can look at the quality of the person. Are you with me? I'm not who I used to be. Are you? No. And you can't fall for that stuff that's going on. Here's bottom line. There is no such thing as a flawless human being. Jesus is the only one that would qualify for that area, okay? No one else is flawless. But thank God we've been perfected in Jesus. So that would qualify us to get into the kingdom, to get into the position that God wants us to be in. And I pray for this. You know that God turned their counsel. Here's the thing. Those who are against that, I'd like to see their past put up on the board. You understand? And so you be cautious what you speak against. And you'll find that all the way through the Bible, men of God have been spoken against. But what's been the end result? The man of God's been the victor. The others have been to their own demise. Stay with God. Go with God. Don't pay attention to the things that's going on around you. I promise you, I can't overstate this. You cannot believe the news. It's not the truth. It is not the truth. I remember when I came back from Vietnam, and I mean, I'm there on the soil. I'm on the ground. And what I'm seeing on TV is not like anything I saw while I was there. And then all these movies they make about it, it's disgusting for the most part, because it doesn't depict the truth of what was going on. And then, you know, you get pegged as the bad guy, the baby killers, and all this kind of garbage that was being propagated by the news. No one's telling you about the people, the innocent people that were saved because you were there. You understand? The lives that were preserved because you was there. And they're sure not telling you how many people were killed because of a stupid withdrawal. You understand? You can't believe it. I don't believe anything they say on the news. I believe that good news.
Yeah.
I believe that's a word you can stand on, that you can pick it apart. You can distort it, but you can't defy the truth. You can defy it for yourself, but the truth will still be standing when you're hung on. We need to stay with the Word of God. And we need to influence people to stand with the Word of God. These spies could have come back and said, look, this is a mighty force that we're up against, but we serve a mighty God.
All right,
guys, let's take courage. We'll give you a pep talk before you go out here. You can't be defeated. It said, don't accept defeat. You're better than they are. That's all a football team, basketball team. What are they going to do? They're going to get in the locker room before they go out, and somebody's going to pump them up. You can. Not, boys, those guys bigger than you, you better look out. No, you tell a 150-pound, he can take on a 300-pounder. You just give him a technique to do it. You understand? And God gives the techniques. God gives the strategies. It's not the size of the giant or the fortification of the wall. It's the strategy of God that can overcome any of that. So we stay with God's Word. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to go back to the grasshoppers again. I know we've talked about that a couple of different times. But you think about these men. They said, we're grasshoppers in our own sight, talking negatively about themselves. And I want you to think about, how do you talk about yourself? I'm going to speak from the women's perspective here. I wish I looked like this. If I could do this. Whatever the case may be. Did God make a mistake when He created you? Does God make mistakes? He doesn't. And so we have to keep the Word before us so we know who we are. So we are mindful and remember who He is. Amen? Watch what you are allowing to influence you. And the other thing I want to bring up before we move on. Y'all, this is important to keep in mind, that the men of war were the ones that we're going to have to wander in the wilderness, that we're going to die off in the wilderness. Here's a test question. God gave Israel her request by allowing all the men of war except Joshua and Caleb to die in the wilderness. And so your key word there is war. I want you to remember that for our test.
But Joshua and Caleb had to go in that wilderness for 40 years.
Yes.
But they never let go. They held on to the Word of God. Don't let go.
That's good. Verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned.
Now, I want you to think about this. They sinned by not obeying God and going into the land. Now God has spoken again. God said, all right, turn, go back toward the Red Sea. You're not going into the land. You're going to die in the wilderness. No, now we repent. Now we're going to go up. You know, I'm sorry. Moses said, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go up. Just because you've realized you've made a mistake doesn't mean that mistake can be rectified just like that. There's a consequence, and they're going to have to suffer the consequence. They're in just as much rebellion to go up to the mount as they were not going up. You understand? Because both of them is obstinately rebelling against what God has said.
I think about I can't help but think about the different times as a mama when I've given instruction to my kids. You can't partly obey part of what I'm telling you to do. It's all or nothing. If you don't do the whole thing, you're in error, buddy. That's how it is. And, you know, you pass down a judgment, a punishment. Oh, God, I'm going to do it now, Mom. Don't work that way, you know. You disobey once, that's one too many, you understand. But God is so merciful. Let me catch up with you. Verse 41. And Moses said, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, and you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you."
And here, note this, Moses said, why are you disobeying the words the Lord has spoken? You're doing the opposite of what God said. And he said, you will not be successful. You're not going to be successful working against God, not obeying God. And so he warned them, don't you go to war against the Amalekites and Canaanites. If you do, you'll be defeated. Now here's why. Because the Lord's not with you.
Yeah.
The Lord would have been with you if you would have gone in to begin with. But since you refused, and now you think you will presumptuously go up, God's not with you now. And you'll be defeated.
Yeah.
People are hard-headed.
Mm-hmm. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp.
So they ignored Moses' warning. Moses is telling them what God says. They've ignored the warning, and they pridefully go up to the top of the mountain. But that box that held that covenant, Moses would not allow that to go with them. Moses knew it wasn't the will of God. No, you're not going to carry the presence of God up there. It's not the will of God, so the presence of God's not going. You have to remember that. If you go out and try to step out ahead of the will of God, the presence of God's not with you. The box is not with you, so to speak. So you're not going to be successful.
You know, you look at Moses here. He did not enable rebellion. He didn't encourage it. He said, I'm not having any part of your rebellion. And we have to learn to do the same thing too. For those that are close to us, we have to be willing to take a step back if truth has been spoken, truth has been told, and someone still wants to rebel against the instructions of the Lord. We can't participate in that rebellion. Otherwise, we are just as rebellious, you understand.
You know, as a pastor, I've observed this as a church leader and also as a pastor, where I remember, you know, the church split, and the pastor asked me if I would go with him, the new pastor, if I would go with him to these different homes and talk with the people, which I didn't have any problem with any of the people. So I said, sure, I'd go with them, and it was almost like pleading for people to come back, to come back. And I saw the negative results of that, because people come back and they come back with a chip on their shoulder. Mm. And now, boy, have you got a mess in the church. And yet, on the other hand, I've had people to come to me when I was a pastor. They didn't like what was going on, and we would not compromise. And the rebellion left the church. You can court it and try to hang on to it, or you can thank God that he's eradicated it because you've stood with the word. You be cautious what you're trying to hang on to. What you compromise to keep,
yeah,
you're probably going to lose anyway.
That's right.
Okay.
That's good. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah.
So they go up against these armies, the Amalekites, the Canaanites, and they came down from the mountain. They attacked this Israeli army, and they fought them all the way to Hormah. In other words, they're chasing them. They're running. Israel's running from the enemy. Why? God's not with them. They disobeyed God. You see someone running from the enemy, then they've got a spiritual problem. Do you understand? If you obey God, you stand with God, you don't have to run from the enemy. You stand your ground. Maintain your pea patch. You understand? It doesn't matter how many they are, you stay there and you fight by the Spirit of God, must preface, for what God has given you. You don't move. You don't move. You don't win a victory by running.
Right.
You don't win battles in retreat.
That's good.
You stay on the offense. Do what God says. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
At times up here, so we're going to have to stop. We'll take a break and come back to this 15th chapter.